teams are being asked to do more with less. And a lot of them are thinking, well, how could technology help?
Is AI going to replace recruiters or supercharge, be a co-pilot for them?
AI is not going to replace recruiters. I definitely see it as something that can supercharge. And by the way, a lot of these are the types of things we're doing in our head as we're sourcing.
We're talking about engineers here, so sorry for people who maybe aren't hiring engineers. But
actually, here's an area where I think it could help in the interview process. It has gotten pretty good at transcription.
Mm-hmm.
So it could save you a lot of time on like writing up your notes afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's gotten quite good at summarization.
If I was a talent leader and I'm looking at, okay, what are the really high impact things that I can do today and I should be focusing on that I can leverage to drive efficiency in my team?
A reality check, like how much budget do you have? The reality is the environment's shifted. Budgets are a lot tighter.
Welcome to Hiring on All Cylinders. I'm your host, Chris Abbas. And I'm joined today by Steve Bartel, CEO and founder of GEM, the leading all-in-one recruitment platform. Good to have you here.
Great to be here.
So I've just been to Transform and everyone's speaking about how they can utilize tech tools, how they can set their teams up to be as productive as possible and do more with less. That seems to be the big topic on all TA's mind. I'm sure you've been hearing that a lot as well. So I thought we'd spend some time talking about that and what startups and high growth companies can do to set their business and TA teams up for success with technology and how you're thinking about that. So maybe it's a big question, but maybe we start there.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I think what you're hearing is spot on. It's what I'm hearing when I'm talking to customers. It's what I'm hearing back from my field team every day, right? Companies are being asked to do more with less. And I think there's a few things that are going on there. Like, you know, one is a lot of companies have gone through pretty tough changes over the last year and a half, whether that's downsizing, in some cases, their teams. Mm-hmm. In other cases, they're being asked to do more with fewer tools, right? And a lot of that is coming from these, you know, macroeconomic conditions, putting a lot more pressure on, especially like growth stage companies.
Yeah.
It's interesting when we look at our data in terms of where the different segments are seeing the most pressure. Enterprise is a little bit more resilient. Startups, actually, surprisingly, startups and SMBs a little bit more resilient, but it's those growth companies that are in that middle tier, few hundred people to a few thousand people, VC funded, but not quite yet to profitability. That's where I think it's felt the most acutely. And so folks are being asked to do more with less. And in parallel, there's actually more to do, right? Smaller recruiting teams, but I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah.
There's a ton more inbound.
Absolutely.
Right? And even like getting through all of your inbound every day has become a way bigger pain point than it was like a year or 2 years ago because the market shifted. So, spot on. Teams are being asked to do more with less. And a lot of them are thinking, well, how could technology help, right? And I'm sure another theme that was talked about at Transform was AI. Because a lot of people are thinking, they're seeing, they're feeling actually, for the first time, like people can tangibly feel AI because of ChatGPT, right? Everybody's known about AI for a long time, but for the first time, like my mom, my grandfather can like go on to ChatGPT, talk to an AI, be like, whoa, that's actually pretty good, right? And so people are thinking about AI and they're thinking, oh, with all these advances in AI, is this a place that maybe could help?
And, you know, I feel you just touched on one point there, which was, you know, I know that GEM initially was built for engaging passive, hard to reach candidates, right? And standing yourself apart from all the other recruiters in the market that were just sending one email, poor engagement, never, and you know, really changed the industry. And I think a lot of people generate a lot of success from, you know, GEM as a tool. I know that it's now developed and now you're adding different features. You built an ATS. How are you seeing, do you do this in GEM in terms of managing inbound flow? And how are you thinking about that? And how are you thinking that technology can help with that and lower the load for recruiting teams?
Absolutely. So yeah, you're right. Like when we got our start, GEM was very much focused on engaging with passive talent and largely outbound recruiting and modernizing that and taking a lot of work from like sales and marketing, a lot of existing technology and best practices and actually just bringing that to recruiting, catching us up. Yeah, I think especially over the last year or two, companies have seen such an influx of inbound applicants.
Absolutely.
And they're actually running into a big problem, which is they have a lot of inbound. Now, that doesn't mean quality's gone up. Mm-hmm. In case, because there's so much inbound, sometimes it actually takes longer to get through all the people that apply to find, you know, the folks that could be a good fit. And so we're absolutely getting ahead of that. Actually, about a year ago, even before all of this buzz and momentum around AI, we launched a new product called Application Review. And it sits right on top of your applicant tracking system, whether that's Greenhouse, Lever, Smart Recruiters, Workday, SuccessFactors, iSIMS, actually integrates with all the enterprise ATSs as well. And our goal there was to make it 10x faster to get through your application review. And we actually started with a bunch of use cases that weren't even AI,
right?
Like better filtering and sorting of your inbound hotkeys, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you can like very quickly take keyboard actions on like advancing or rejecting with a message, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so now, of course, with the new innovations and technology disruption that's happened with generative AI, we're building that right into application review. And the good news is we already have a pretty big head start on having built that application review product and integrated it with all of the ATSs, because that's actually a lot of the hard work is making that integration work really well. And so, yeah, we'll be launching like a AI in application review in that product, probably in the next month or two.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah, it's been, I actually met with James Hudson. I'm not sure you know him. He's the ex global VP of talent at Nike and Net-a-Porter before that and Levi's. And we were talking about how with this massive influx of inbound applicants, you know, you might have the traditional 75% aren't fit for your position and you might have 100 applicants. Now you've got 75% of 1,000 applicants and you're having to get through, you know, 750 candidates, and providing them with a terrible experience is burning your brand.
Totally.
You know, and recruitment teams just can't handle it because they've been, you know, there's been layoffs, they've been reduced in size, capacity. So I think this is also a big topic of how can we create, you know, reduce the administrative load whilst providing a great candidate experience, but not missing the great candidates.
100%. And I'm seeing that left and right. Actually, from a candidate perspective, this is the single biggest pain point and trend that I've seen over the last year. I'm seeing it all over LinkedIn, like a new LinkedIn post every week, right? Of these horrible stories of folks getting ghosted.
Yeah.
Actually, you'd be surprised. Some of them, like after going through onsites, getting ghosted. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's wild. That you would take the time to do a recruiter screen, do a hiring manager screen, even like put somebody through some on-site interviews and then not hear back, right? But I think it speaks to this problem where recruiting teams are being asked to do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely overloaded. Like that's my generous interpretation of what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's really interesting to hear. And I'm sure a lot of people listening will be really interested to see that feature and that product. Now, on the sourcing side, obviously you've built a platform that enables recruitment teams to be more successful. And there's a big debate right now about, you know, is AI going to replace recruiters or supercharge, be a co-pilot for them to, you know, maybe level up and do more, I guess, important work or impactful work rather than just sourcing and sifting through candidates and that kind of, and generating reach outs. What's your take on that? Obviously, you're really close to this. You can probably see how fast technology is moving, you know, how effective it is, and have some kind of vision into the future here more than most. So what's your take?
Talentful provides flexible recruiting solutions to the world's most ambitious companies. Are you thinking about ways to add flexibility to your talent function? With recent market volatility and hiring set to return to growth mode in the near future, there's never been a better time to choose the right partner to help you scale. Talent Pool's embedded sourcing, recruiting, coordination, and talent advisory services have been trusted by the world's leading brands. Companies such as Atlassian, Microsoft, Expedia, Pinterest, Waymo, and more. Whether you're hiring across engineering, go-to-market, or G&A, Talent Pool has got you covered. To find out how Talent Pool can help you, visit talentpool.com.
Yeah, my take is that AI is not going to replace recruiters. I definitely see it as something that can supercharge recruiters, but still really needing the importance of having recruiters in the loop, right? And so that's why, you know, all of the AI we build at GEM, we still leave the recruiter in the driver's seat. And there's a few ways that we do that and we think about that because we think it's really important. One is we think with generative AI, there's actually a new opportunity that's never really been available before to give end users, to give recruiters a lot more input into the AI and the algorithm itself, right? ChatGPT allows for prompting, right? And essentially what you're doing is you're creating these the structure around the prompts, the inputs that go into the algorithm.
Yeah.
And what that does is previously, AI, before generative AI, it was much more of a black box. You couldn't actually have much control into the inputs into the algorithm. But what prompting allows us to do and allows it enables from like a technology perspective is it's not just like better AI, it's actually a lot more control over the algorithm and the inputs and a lot more visibility into what's happening and why. So the two things that I think are really important to enable recruiters and recruiting teams to be co-pilots and to sort of co-create with AI are one, like the right inputs into the AI, and two, the right visibility into why AI is making the decision it is. And that is both important from a trust perspective, but also that can be a feedback cycle into better prompting.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So how would you see that in practice working for, let's say, a recruiter to like advance their ability to source better candidates?
Well, take for example that inbound use case, but I also think AI sourcing of outbound external candidates, totally similar. Rather than just coming up with a generic black box score for a candidate and having that score be trained on a bunch of random data that the recruiter doesn't really have any input or control into. Here's like a ideal future state. Because that's the way a lot of AI used to work, right? Even if you take a step back a year or two ago, but now new things are possible. So imagine if you open a new role, if instead of like being a black box, you feed in the AI, here are the five must-have requirements for the role. Here are maybe the five nice to have requirements, or maybe AI even takes a first pass at generating that set of requirements based on the job description or based on like what it knows about previous roles that you've opened. Right. But now the recruiter knows like kind of what's going into that algorithm. Those requirements are getting passed right into the prompt for the AI. And then the recruiter can of course change the requirements as it starts to see how the algorithm performs. It can relax a requirement to a nice to have, or it can add in a new requirement that's like letting people too many candidates pass through the filter. Right. And taking that a step further, instead of just seeing a score, which is like kind of hard to know, like why was this person a 98 out of 100 and that person a 78? AI can tell you, well, they were a 98 because they were a 5 out of 5 on these, you know, three must-have requirements, which you specified, and they had 2 out of 3 of like the nice-to-haves or something like that. That might be an 87, but you get the idea, right? And so rather than AI being this black box where recruiters have no input, no control over the algorithm, this is like an ideal future state in my mind of what's suddenly been made possible by generative AI. And this kind of stuff used to be near impossible before.
And do you think the current data we have on candidates is enough to glean that information right now? Like, you know, LinkedIn, let's say, that is, you know, pretty hit and miss in terms of you know, the data that's on a profile, for example, it might not be updated. It won't have profile or project information or history, the tech stack they used. Like, do you think that's going to be a problem, or how are companies going to get around that?
Great question. So first of all, I think for inbound, should be able to do a better job out of the gate, because people are generally supplying a lot more information for their resume.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think you're right to call that out when it comes to external sourcing, AI sourcing on top of just generally publicly available data.
Yeah.
That's where some of the profiles might be more sparse. It might be harder to distinguish. But I do think like AI is going to be able to, over time, get better at that. And it's going to be able to infer that if you spent 4 years at Facebook, you probably have experience with this tech stack, or you've developed these types of skills in that type of role, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think there's going to be this inference layer that's going to be really important on top of AI, especially so that we can basically do a level of enrichment on top of that sparse profile data to expand on it.
That's really interesting.
And by the way, a lot of these are the types of things we're doing in our head as we're like sourcing people where the profile is sparse. Based on our experience, having talked to three engineers from Facebook, we kind of have this idea, even if they didn't list off all their skills, they might be a good fit for this role, right?
Yeah. Do you see we're talking about engineers here, so sorry for people who maybe aren't hiring engineers, but the assessment part of, you know, a process for engineers is incredibly time consuming for the company. You know, you're having to, I'm sure when you're hiring engineers at GEM, having to take up a lot of interviewer time and engineering time to do this. It's also really annoying for the candidate who's having to do this multiple times over. Do you think there's a good solution coming for that? Like, I feel like that is such a big opportunity. But it's deeply personal to each company. Whenever I speak to a hiring manager, they're like, well, no, they have to do the test for GEM because, you know, we're the hardest environment and we know, you know, everyone has the same opinion. And I know you were in software engineering, you're a software engineer, right? Do you have any opinions on that, or how technology can help?
That's a great question. Every company thinks they're a special snowflake when it comes to their bar, when it comes to their specific things they're looking for. And to some extent, like, every company is looking for like nuanced things.
Yeah.
I do think over time, like, AI and technology is going to be able to help. I don't think that's the first place where it's going to unlock like massive gain.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, anything related to ranking and matching, that's going to be a big unlock especially from an efficiency that it can drive.
Yeah.
And especially now that generative AI gives recruiters more control over the algorithm, now that it gives it more visibility into the decisions it's making instead of just being a black box. Like, that's where I think like there's going to be a lot of value. And then anything that touches text, right? Whether that's helping draft outreach emails, or actually, here's an area where I think it could help in the interview process when it comes to assessment. Like, I don't know that how far AI is from being able to like assess an interview or to like automate screening and things like that, of a phone screen, for example.
Yeah.
But it has gotten pretty good at transcription.
Mm-hmm.
So it could save you a lot of time on like writing up your notes afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's gotten quite good at summarization.
Mm. Yeah.
And there's great parallels in the world of sales and marketing. Like, we use Gong internally.
Yeah.
You know Gong?
Yeah.
Their transcription and their summarization has gotten like 10x better in the last year because of generative AI. It's incredible. I go on Loom, same thing. Like, if you go watch a Loom video, it like creates these auto like summaries of what was talked about.
Yeah.
And like action items, takeaways. That's really cool. And that to me is like something that I feel is directly transferable and applicable to recruiting, which can save people a ton of time in terms of like writing up their interview notes, helping to summarize the discussion, or even like helping to write up notes from like a recruiter screen or a closing call or something like that.
It's really interesting when you initially said one of the aims for GEM was like getting recruiting to capture it with sales and marketing. And I feel like Gong, I always looked up as like, this needs to come to recruiting.
Yep.
And it seems to now there's a lot of like interview intelligence software and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to hear from your point of view, like if I was a talent leader and I'm looking at, okay, what are the really high impact things that I can do today and I should be focusing on that can I can leverage to drive efficiency in my team? Like, what would that look like if you were building, you know, a TA org right now with like a tech infrastructure?
Yeah, that's a good question. From a technology and like tech stack perspective, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I think number one is everybody needs their ATS.
Yeah.
Right. Though I think as you were thinking about that piece, there might be a few different options to go. Like, you know, one is, and this is more of a philosophy approach and also a reality check. Like, how much budget do you have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be a year or two ago that, let's say 2 years ago, that TA leaders, talent operation teams, they were able to piece together the best of breed technologies for every single different part of the stack.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what that stack used to look like was, you know, like a greenhouse probably for their ATS, something like that. A good time or a prelude or a modern loop for interview scheduling, like Gem for their CRM sourcing analytics. Maybe companies were using Ashby for analytics if they wanted a different like alternative to Gem's analytics. Yeah. And, they were able to, and then of course, you know, everybody's got LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But companies were, and then maybe those were kind of the core must-haves, right? Yeah. Those five or six categories. And then maybe they were experimenting with something on the interview scheduling side. Sorry, not interview scheduling side, the, like Gong for, being able to like record.
Yeah. Like the interviews. Bright Hire or something like
that. Exactly. Yeah. Like maybe they were experimenting with that, or maybe they were experimenting with something on candidate experience, like Guide or something like that. Right. And, who knows, maybe those would actually grow into must have categories where everybody's also looking to buy the best of breed. The reality is the environment's shifted. Budgets are a lot tighter. And so, and TA leaders are being asked to do more with less. And so I think what a lot of, folks are trying to do is consolidate. And instead of buy best of breed for every part of the stack, maybe they're looking, where can we combine into one vendor to, you know, save 30% on the overall stack or something like that. And so that's the big shift I've seen from like a tech stack perspective. With that said, I have seen, people starting to go create budget for a few areas. And one of those is AI for application review.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they feel and see this problem so acutely of having so many inbound apps. And, and it's very clear that like some automation in AI could help. And the second place where I've started to see folks creating budget is around AI sourcing and being able to help, go, source external candidates. And actually, this is sometimes less creating budget. Sometimes they're able to replace LinkedIn budget.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, like AI sourcing is largely solving that same problem that LinkedIn is for you. And it's almost like a new and improved way to search and surface candidates, right? Instead of manually searching on LinkedIn and putting in a bunch of filters, you're training the AI model on how to bubble up 100, 200 relevant profiles a week. Right. And so that's cool, because rather than having to go create budget for something like AI in inbound, folks are able to say, oh, well, maybe I could save on my LinkedIn spend if I adopt some technology like this.
And you might have a horse in the race here, but you know, there's a lot of companies maybe thinking about this and adapting their product because of the consolidation that you mentioned. If you're kind of a TA leader, what are the things you maybe should consider when you are, you know, going with a company that maybe had a solution that's now going into a more broader set of tools? Like, what do you think gives those companies an advantage, or should maybe swing the decision, or at least be a strong consideration there? Because, you know, I think that from what I'm seeing, a lot of VPs are thinking about how they do this now. They don't want to have all these different point solutions, as you mentioned, all these different points of contact, contract lengths. They want to consolidate. They want to have a place they can go that can service all those needs that you mentioned. But how does a TA leader make that decision?
It's a great question. I think there's a few things that TA leaders should consider. One is the breadth of that platform? Does it have all the pieces they need, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean to say like all of those pieces, to some degree, like there's a combination of breadth and like, where is it today? But also, is this a company that they believe in, mm-hmm. they actually want to take a bet on, that they think is moving quickly? Because part of it is seeing where the puck is headed.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of companies, especially when they're considering like an applicant tracking system as part of that stack, they want to be sure that this thing is going to be built for scale, mm-hmm. and it's going to scale with them as they grow. Yeah. Right. So I think an important part of that is trying to make that assessment, right? Does this vendor work with a lot of enterprise customers mm-hmm. today? Do they have a lot of experience with that? Because every single startup is a future SMB. Every single small business SMB is like a future mid-market growth stage company.
Yeah.
Every growth stage company aspires to be a public company, aspires to be a larger enterprise, right? And when you're thinking about putting like in an all-in-one platform, that can be a pretty big decision, and you want to make sure that decision is going to stick with you for the foreseeable future. Right.
Yeah.
So I'd say those two things. And if I were to summarize that, a little bit more succinctly, innovation mm-hmm. and like speed, like, is this like a company that you want to bet on? Are they the future?
Yeah.
And then proven track record of being able to scale.
Yeah.
Like, do they work with a lot of enterprise customers? Will they be able to scale with me because of how big of a decision it is to put in a stack like that?
Mm-hmm. And kind of on top of that, you know, a lot of the leaders that we're speaking to, you know, they have had, you know, budgets reduced, and they, like you said, are having to do more with less.
Yep.
So
I completely forgot. There's one more thing that's really important. Yeah. There's one more thing that's really important. And it's like, is this company going to be around?
Yeah.
And I think it's actually totally fair.
For sure.
To ask vendors, how much runway do you have?
Yeah.
What do you need to go fundraise next?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I'd certainly welcome any customer or prospect asking us that.
Yeah.
We're fortunate to be in like a really good position mm-hmm. on that front, where, you know, we've got 4 years of runway as of mm-hmm. end of this year.
And the reason why that's important is obviously if you invest as a leader into a new platform, you get your team engaged and, you know, adopting it, which takes a lot of work and effort. And then they go bust. That's a lot of waste of time and energy.
Yep. And oftentimes that happens really abruptly.
Yeah.
With no heads up. And it can also be pretty disruptive for that company to get acquired.
Mm-hmm.
What if the product gets sunsetted? You know, if they get acquired and they're no longer investing in the product at the same level, mm. but you're now kind of stuck on the stack that's hard to migrate off of.
And I guess there's also maybe another lens to it. If they haven't got a lot of runway, they maybe aren't going to be investing heavily into development and R&D.
True.
Right, as well.
Yeah, especially if you know, that's going to prohibit them from continuing to grow and add more engineers and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of when you're like speaking to customers, and you know, we're looking at like the future tech stacks that companies should maybe have and think about, are there any kind of real metrics that you see, you know, this impacting for a leader to put a business case together and say, look, I'm going to spend X, this is my return? Have you got a methodology that could help leaders put together business cases?
Yeah, and I think it's like pretty specific to what part of the stack,
sure.
where is it looking to drive value? But I think like actually mapping out the ROI
mm-hmm.
and moving past like just hours saved.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, of course, that's like a good metric. Like you can quantify that X hours saved per recruiter, per sourcer, per recruiting coordinator. If you're talking about interview scheduling, mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's a fine metric. You can easily tie that to 2 to 3 like full-time salaries if you're at a certain scale.
Yeah.
Great ROI. But like for a lot of parts of the recruiting stack, it's possible to tie the ROI to something more strategic. Like, what if we could reduce the time to fill for this mission critical role?
Mm-hmm.
What's the business impact of that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, what's actually the business impact of not hitting your like hiring plan on the enterprise AE side
mm.
and being short 5 enterprise IEs and then not having enough capacity to go hit your revenue target for the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like what's that business impact? How many dollars are we losing by not having like the right technology that's going to enable that? I mean, another simple place to look is if a platform can help net you X amount of like additional hires that you would have had to spend on ads or agencies. There's like a really clear like ROI story there too, right? Like, you know, what's the typical agency for you for a hire? It's what, like 20-30% of first year salary. Like that's real tangible value there. And it's not that, you know, there's a lot of great places to use agencies across the hiring stack, but maybe there's certain evergreen roles that where you could actually leverage technology to give yourself a boost and you know, save a little bit, right?
I'm also really interested in your opinion on this. You know, although I believe people are excited about the use of technology, and there's been a few rough years, you know, COVID, where talent teams were severely impacted. Then there was this 2-year period where I'm sure you saw the graph that said there was more demand for recruiters than software engineers at one point, which seems like a lifetime ago. And then, you know, last year was really tough for tech companies. And a lot of TA leaders in that space have been burnt, and there's still some hesitance to commit to a solution because they maybe did that in the last couple of years and they were tied into these big contracts and with lots of seats and they couldn't have flexibility, right?
Yep.
Like, how should a TA leader be thinking about that? And have you got an opinion on, you know, how they should approach things, or, you know, I guess, you know, how to de-risk themselves or...
Yeah, it's a great question. Can I give you a spicy take?
Yes, please.
Don't sign a 3-year LinkedIn contract.
Yeah.
Sorry, love you LinkedIn, but maybe not supposed to call out specific vendors here.
That's fine.
But when times are good, don't sign a 3-year LinkedIn contract. I mean, that's by far and large the place where we see this the most. And it's like, we're locked into a 3-year LinkedIn contract from back when hiring was exploding and you know, we figured we would save 10% by signing a 3-year deal, but now we're locked into 90% more than what we need.
Awesome. Well, the last question before we wrap stuff up is I'm really interested in your take of kind of what you're most excited about regarding TA and the future of TA at the moment.
I mean, as somebody on the technology side, I'm super excited about like the types of technology that's coming online this year for the first time, especially around like the areas of AI. I think the type of impact that's going to have on application review, on external sourcing, on candidate rediscovery. That's even a whole separate use case. We didn't talk about this idea that we could, instead of just going outbound cold to net new folks, like why not start with all the people that have already raised their hand from our ATS or from our CRM, all the amazing people we've identified. I'm super bullish on AI as being a pretty big disruptor, a pretty big technology enabler. And, you know, something that I think has an opportunity to disrupt the entire industry. You think about, especially in the enterprise, there, and especially when you look at like the applicant tracking systems in the enterprise, it's largely the same set of players that have been there for 30 years. Yeah. Think about that.
And no one likes using them.
No one likes them.
Yeah.
Yet they're entrenched, right? Yeah. And sometimes though, it takes a new disruptive technology to come along, to enable like a paradigm shift that allows for like a new player to enter that market. To really change the game for customers, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about, right? It's about actually delivering real value to customers. And so I'm really excited for whether maybe somebody could finally take a crack at
it. Would be great.
That space.
I think a lot of people are waiting for it. So Steve, where can people find you, Jem? Anything that's coming up that's really interesting for you guys to round it out?
Yeah, totally. Well, we're gem.com. It's a whole another fun story as to how we got that domain, but I'll leave that for another time. Gem.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. And yeah, if you're a startup, I always like to plug our Free for Startups program. Mm-hmm. Gem is actually free for companies that are up to 15 employees for 2 years.
Awesome.
It's just our way of giving back and looking forward to hearing from you.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Steve. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please remember to like and subscribe so you don't forget any future episodes. See you soon.